in your pews if you'd like to follow along. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Have you any right to be angry?" Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. And then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm. It chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die, and he said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?" "I do," he said. "I am angry enough to die." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" This is the word of God for the people of God.
Well, thank you, Deb. Appreciate that very much. I would like to just say to you this morning before I begin, or as I begin, that I got a message from Bonnie this morning. And she said that she and Joe planned on being here this morning. However, Joe was not feeling well and had some head congestion, I think she said it was. And I told her, she said that she was praying for all of us. Particularly me, I guess. I need it. And I told her that we all would be praying for her. So we'll remember those in the joys and the concerns, right? As I was preparing this message, some things happened to me. And I don't know how to say this, but I kind of love it when I preach. But I also kind of hate it. The fine line between love and hate, right? Because whenever I preach, God has to deal with me first, you know? And some things happened that I'm going to share with you in a little bit. But I would like to just do an overview, those of you that maybe have missed the first or second in the series here. Just a little overview of Jonah. Jonah, you'll remember, he is called by God to go to Nineveh. And we're not told too much about that, except that's what God called him to do. And what did he do? He ran to Tarshish, right? And instead of doing what God had commanded him and called him to do, he ran to Tarshish. And then we always reap what we sow, don't we? You know? And so anyway, he gets on board, you know, I'm gonna go to Tarshish and take this ride on this ship and I'm gonna go and do whatever it is that I wanna go and do. And then God, right, ordered this storm to take place. And pretty violent storm, we're told, in chapter 1. And then, you know, the sailors are saying, "Okay, what are we going to do here? This sea is really raising havoc with us. And who's responsible for this?" Okay. And Jonah says, kind of sheepishly, you know, says, well, it's probably me. Ha, 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 right? And throw me overboard. And he thought, well, you know, nah, we don't want to do that. But then the storm got greater and greater and greater. And so they said, well, even though we don't want to do that, you know, we're going to do that. So they threw him overboard. And it says that God appointed. In my translation, it says God appointed. And in the Hebrew, that's a better translation of what the word means. God appointed a great fish to come and swallow him up. And after 3 days and three nights in this fish, in the belly of this fish, the fish barfs them up, right? On dry land, no less. Right? And so then we got chapter 2 where Jonah says, okay, you know, I remember what God wants. I remember what God has commanded me. I remember what God wants of me, right? And then he repents. And chapter 2 is all about him repenting. And, you know, isn't it great that God is a God of second chances? Because that's what happens in chapter 3, where God says, okay, I forgive you. You know, I'm gonna relent and forgive you. But he calls him a second time, and he says, but I want you to do what I told you to do in the first place. So go do it, right? And this time, Jonah didn't argue with God. He went into Nineveh to warn them that calamity is going to come upon them because of their evil ways. And so Jonah does exactly that. And guess what happens? In chapter 4, we're told that the king, you know, repents and orders all of the land to repent in sackcloth and ashes, because God is going to shower down upon us his wrath because of our evil behavior. And the king ordered that, and they all obeyed the king, and they repented. And then in chapter 4, Jonah, you would think, wow, man, they responded to the message that God has given me. You know, and as a pastor and as a preacher, man, I got to say, if you respond to the word of God, if you respond to this message this morning, I mean, that's a compliment to me. It's a compliment to God. See? And you would think that Jonah would be, yeah, wow, God really used me. You know, he relented, and he is now not going to bring calamity to this city. Instead, he's going to forgive them. And, you know, and by the way, is prayer powerful?
Yes.
Yeah. So powerful that when we go before God, and when God convicts us and he says, you know, I want you to turn from that sin. And when we do, whatever that sin is, okay, then God forgives and he relents. Really, he relents and he forgives. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. And he keeps giving us chance after chance after chance after chance. And I'm living proof that God forgives over and over and over and over and over again. Right? And you would think, again, like I said, that Jonah would rejoice. But he gets mad. He gets mad. And as you look at chapter 4, you're there, what's he mad about? He ought to be rejoicing. You know, Nineveh was a big city, and all of these people are repenting. And you would think he'd say, yay, wow, that's great, right? But he gets mad. And then he says to God, this is exactly why I ran the first time. because I knew that you are a loving God, gracious God, forgiving God, and I knew that this was going to happen. Okay? And he says that's why he ran. Okay? And it kind of, you know, I don't know about you, but it kind of makes me scratch my head and say, yeah, Jonah, what in the world's going on here? Okay? And we're told that, you know, God says to him, chapter 4, so what about this anger, Jonah? Really? Really? You know? And Jonah says, yeah, really. So much so that I want to die. If I can't do what I want to do, if I can't control this situation, and you're in, I want to die. Just take me. You want to be in charge, God? All right, I want to die. Do it. Right? God's shaking. Yeah. Can you imagine what God does in heaven sometimes, right? I think about that, you know, often, and God must be shaking his head and kind of smiling, you know? You know, saying, really? Well, guess what? That's what you want, but that's not what I want. See? And so, Jonah, you know, like a selfish little brat. None of us can relate to that, right? And so what's he do? He goes into, you know, this desert, and he finds this gourd or this plant, whatever it might be, and says, ah, you know what, this isn't so bad. And he goes and he rests under this plant, and he's soaking up the shade. Wow, you know, this is wonderful. And then what happens? It says that God appointed, once again, God appointed. Not only did God appoint that plant to grow, and Jonah didn't even think about that, you know. But now God says, okay, I'm going to, you reap what you sow, right? I'm going to appoint this worm to come and eat away at the root of this plant. And that's exactly what happens. And it dies. And he's mad again, or continuously. Now he's really, really, really mad. You know, have you been really, really mad? And you know what happens when we get really, really, really mad? That many times our anger, you know, goes inside because we can't do anything to change our circumstances. As much as we want, we can't change what God has appointed or what God has ordained for whatever reasons, many times that we have no clue about, that we don't even know, right? And I define depression. Many of you know that I was a counselor for many, many, many years, too many years. And I define depression as anger that goes inward. Okay? Because when we can't do anything about it, what are we going to do? Well, we can do this. Right? And it goes inward. And so that's what's happening with Jonah here. See? And then not only was it bad enough that God appointed this worm to come along and eat away at this plant, but then he appointed, again, an east wind, a scorching east wind. You reap what you sow, right? And then Jonah, you know, you would think he'd remember. You know, chapter 2, right? You think he'd remember, you know? I'm not going to get away with this, okay? And then what happens? Jonah says, once again, just take my life, will you? You know, and God says, oh, well, you're back to being angry again, huh? Well, how's that working for you? Mm-hmm. How's that working for you? And that used to be a question when I was counseling, you know. My clients would come in and tell me whatever was going on, and I would say, well, how's that working for you? And they'd look at me like, I can't believe you're asking me this. Not too well. Well, don't you think some things need to change? They'd say, yeah. You know, and you would think Jonah would say, well, yeah, some things need to change. But we're not told what happens after all of that. But what I would like to do is to say, or to ask you, I guess I'll say, what do you do when you get angry? You know, I have said in the past, and said to you, I think in the last couple weeks, we all are addicted to something. You know, it's pretty easy to point our fingers at a drug addict. It's pretty easy to point our fingers at an alcoholic. It's pretty easy to point fingers, isn't it? But whenever we do this, what? There's fingers pointing back at us, right? And we're all addicted to something. And you know what I have been addicted to all my life is anger. I've struggled with anger all of my life. And I think I'm getting a better handle on it. And I thought I was doing pretty well with it until this past week. And you know, I'm there, you know, God, some things happened with a neighbor of mine, and I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. And for the last couple weeks, for whatever reason, that I don't know, that I don't understand, you know, he's mean, he's nasty, you know, he calls me names and, you know, all this kind of stuff, and I'm there, you know, And the last time, I mean, I stay pretty calm until you get in my face, right? And if you get in my face and you start to call me names, you don't want to do that, you know? And, man, you know, I really wanted to, well, I don't even want to tell you. But I was mad, really mad. And Deb can tell you how mad I was, can't you? Yeah. And Deb says, well, everybody gets to be mad for at least 24 hours. And I said, is that all I get? It's 24 hours? Can you give me more than that? And she just kind of looked at me and smiled, you know. And this was Monday, the Monday after last Sunday when I preached. And I had all this Jonah stuff going on. And then the message this morning. So I knew, you know, all of this. You know, and I'm there, you know, and Deb saying, well, you know, God says this and this and that, and I'm there, Deb, that's not helpful. You know, that's just plain not helpful. And she just looked at me and smiled, you know, and she said, well, how can I help? And I said, well, you can say, you know, I understand your feelings, you know. So she said, I understand your feelings. And anyway, we had a tough couple. I had a tough couple days, and she was just praying for. And I woke up one morning, and you know, there was a note on. I'm a words guy. Those of you that know love languages, and there was a note on the counter, and it said, "To my amazing husband." And oh, gosh, I hate it when this happens. So she put all kinds of word stuff in there about how amazing I am, and I started to choke and, you know, but yeah, but I appreciated it. And so then, you know, I went to a men's gathering, and, you know, this one fellow came up to me and said, so how you doing, Al? You know, and this was Monday night, and I said, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. And he looked at me and he goes, are you telling me the truth or are you lying to me? And I'm there, man, God, you appointed, right? This just didn't happen. I mean, I haven't had anyone say that to me ever, I don't think, you know. And so I'm there, you okay, God. So I said, well, I'm lying to you. And he goes, I thought so. And so he, what's the matter, right? So I start to tell him and so forth. And, You know, he said, yeah, yeah. He says, yeah, been there and so forth. And the topic of the day there was a testimony from my best friend and all the things that were going on in his life and so forth. And I knew all of it. And here I'm there listening to it all. I'm okay, you know, so what's in this for me, you know? What's my takeaway? And he ended it all by keep saying surrender, you know, that he had to surrender to God and to give it all to God. And so I walked out of there and I'm there, oh, man, you know, God, I don't want to surrender. I want to be angry. And I have a right to be angry. I didn't do anything, so I have a right to be angry that this guy is doing this to me, right? Have any of you been there? Yeah, yeah, thank you, right? And you know, so Tuesday came, and I didn't sleep very well Monday night, because God was using Jonah, you know. You think it's easy to get up here and preach? Well, let me tell you something. When you preach, you got to deal with yourself first before you can expect God to use you in anyone else's life. And, you know, God was really working on me. And I said, I don't know, to a number of people on Tuesday, I said, you know, I know what God wants me to do. I know. He wants me to respond in a loving way. He wants me to surrender my anger to him and say, you know, God, this is yours. My neighbor is your neighbor, right? He belongs to you. And I can't control. I'm going to put up this control here thing. I can't control what he's going to say, what he's going to do, how he's going to think. I can't control any of that. I want to, you know. I want him to be nice, because I'm nice, I think. I think I'm a pretty nice guy, except when you get in my face, you know. And, you know, God really began to work on me, and Deb says, well, how you doing? I'm there, yeah, you know, I know. Jonah knew what was going to happen. You know, he knew that if he preached repentance to this, the evil people, that they were going to repent. He knew. And he said, nah. You know, and boy, you know, I feel exactly the same about my neighbor. You know, I want to, you know, I told Deb, you know, I said, I've got all kinds of thoughts in here of things I want to do to him. And they're not godly. You know, and I know what time this and this and that. And I can make life difficult for him. You know? And, you know, and then Jonah, you know, remembered and he repented. And I remembered, you know, okay, God, you know, I know who you are. Do you know who God is? Do you know what God wants? He wants us to walk in the Spirit. He wants us to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? Joy, peace, love, kindness, goodness. Against such there is no law, Galatians tells us. Paul tells us in Galatians. But I got to tell you, I didn't want to do it. And so finally I surrendered. Finally I surrendered. I told Deb, I said, I think it was Wednesday. I said, well, okay, here goes, you know. And let me tell you something. When you surrender to God, that's when you get peace. And it's a whole lot better than my anger. A whole lot better than my anger. Okay? And control. Whenever we get angry, we want to take control, guaranteed. We want to take control. And I looked up the definition, the power to influence or direct people's behavior or course of events. That's what control is. Okay? Now, self-control, that's a whole lot. That's a fruit of the Spirit. That's something that God gives us. Self-control, the ability to control oneself, in particular, one's emotions, desires, oh man, you know, and the expression of them in one's behavior when the going gets tough. That's what self-control is. And you remember this picture from last week, right, that I put up. And this frame, I talked about how this frame is God's limits, okay, in our life. God will let us, and let me tell you something. I know you're Presbyterian, and I love you. You know, because God has, you know, for whatever reasons, shown himself to you and chose you before the very foundation of the world. And hallelujah that you believe that. But are you living it, right? Are you living what God? This week I wasn't, you know. I wasn't living like I'm a chosen child of him. I know I am. You know, and I believe that with all my heart. And yet, you know, and I know this. I just spoke on this last week, right? You know, and here's the limit, right? This is God here, right? And God gives us all of this to say choices, right? Make choices and so forth that bring glory to him. And we can use whatever colors we want. There's so much freedom that God gives us. But, you know, he says, you belong to me. And because you belong to me, here's what I want you to do. What are you going to do? Are you going to obey what I've called you to do, what I've commanded you to do? Or are you going to get mad and take control? Now, anger has a lot of nuances. A lot of nuances. A lot of times, you know, when I was counseling, I'd say, well, you know, sounds to me like you're angry. Ah, I'm not angry. I don't know how many times I've said to folks, sounds like you're angry. And they say, nope, not angry. And they would do, you know, kind of like, I'm not angry. You know? And I'd say, okay, all right. How about frustrated? Yeah, I'm frustrated. How about disappointed? Yeah, I'm disappointed. Well, those are just nuances of anger. It's a whole lot easier to know we're going to reap the consequences for choices that we make. And I would just ask you today, you know, what if God has laid his finger on your heart this morning about your anger and what you're going to do with your anger, then I would plead with you as I was, God was pleading with me, Al, just give it up. Just give it, love this guy. And then, you know, I thought about, how am I going to love this guy? Well, I got to pray for him. Yeah, I don't want to pray for him. You know, you reap what you sow, you anyway, right? I don't want to pray for you. And I think that's something that Deb said to me. You got to pray for the guy. I don't know. And I'm there, yeah, okay, God. You know, I'll pray for him. And I don't know what God's going to do in his life. But that's out of my control, isn't it? That's out of my control. That's something that he and God have to deal with. And what I have to do is I have to love him. I have to love this guy. And it's like hugging a porcupine. Try hugging a porcupine, you know? But when we release and when we surrender to God and we say, you know, God, I want because I am your chosen child. And if there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know the Lord Jesus, then I plead with you. Get on board. Invite Jesus Christ to come into your life and to give you the freedom that it takes, to go before God, surrender, go before Christ. Give him your sin. Give him all the shame and all the guilt and give him all of that and the freedom that comes. And I'm living proof, that when you surrender, then it's a release. See? And that's what God wants. And you say, you know what? I want to walk in the Spirit. If I were to say, let's show by a show of a hand, who wants to walk in the Spirit? Now, I'm not going to embarrass you, right? But who wants to walk in the Spirit? Do you want to walk it? Thank you. Thank you. And let's go out of here this morning, this next week, and for days and weeks and years to come. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to bring glory. Take some surrender. And that's going to take some self-control. And forgive me, because we need to be encouraging to each other. We need to be examples to each other. And may God speak to your heart. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would just drill down into the very depths of our hearts and bring us to our knees that we might every day surrender to you despite our anger. And despite our, I don't want to. I want to live my life the way I want. Well, that has lots of consequences that are not good. And so, God, forgive us. Thank you for forgiving me, for loving me. Thank you for these folks that love me, my wife that loves me. And I just pray that our love would bond us together as we encourage one another by the desire to walk in the Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.